Introduction. It was another crazy day in the hood. I had no idea how crazy it was about to become. Growing up on welfare on the south side of Chicago forced my brothers, sisters, and me to grow up far too fast. We became calloused, lost empathy, and buried parts of our humanity as our world revolved around welfare, poverty, drugs, prostitution, alcoholism, death, gun violence, and incarceration. It should surprise no one that we eventually came to see this as our strange version of normal. My biological father left me and my four siblings when I was 5 years old. Not long after he vanished, my mom had a new boyfriend named Fred. Everything was going about as well as it could in the hood. Fred even offered my mom a job at his restaurant so she could make a little money until one evening, my father unexpectedly returned to our apartment. When he saw Fred standing next to my mom, he pretended to be thirsty and asked her for a glass of water. Then something snapped. It was like a switch flipped and unleashed the beast. My father became enraged, completely out of control. A normal person might get angry, even act out, but not my father. With me and my sister Cherie hiding under our bunk bed in the living room, trying to understand what was happening, he pulled out a handgun and shot Fred right in front of us. The image of a man lying dead, shot, and bleeding out on our living room floor haunted me for years. As I grew older, that moment, along with others, subconsciously gave me the kick in the butt I needed to move on and get out. To this day, my sister still does not remember me being under the bed with her. Who knows? Maybe she's right. But traumatic memories have a strange way of reshaping themselves over time. No matter how hard we try to block them out, or believe what we want to believe, they linger until they become part of our fractured reality. After all these years, and after the trauma my family and I endured, our reunions still feel dysfunctional when we get together. Talk about today's nightmares becoming tomorrow's memories. When we recount our past experiences, it resembles a special operations team discussing how they survived a firefight or an ambush. But fortunately, there is also plenty of laughter and love. Somehow, I believe that is part of our family's continuous and sometimes contentious healing process. Like many other young people growing up around gangbangers, pimps, and drug addicts in one of the toughest neighborhoods in the country, I was programmed for failure. Our choices were simple. Stay out of jail, stay away from drugs, or fall into both and become another statistic. No one was pushing hope our way. And to top it off, my father, who, as I mentioned, abandoned me and my three sisters, and my brother, was black. My mom, of Italian descent, was white. Hence the title of my book, American Half-Breed, and how my lifelong struggle to figure out where I belonged. You may wonder why I wanted to tell my story. The answer is simple. I wanted to share the lessons I learned from growing up with nothing. I often joked that we were so poor we would eat the peas one day and drink the juice the next. Ironically, we became so accustomed to a routine that most normal people would find incomprehensible. Our biological father abandoned us and was a murderer who got away with it. Our cruel, alcoholic stepfather was also a pimp and a drug dealer. He was a violent man who abused my mom and us kids to the point that we believed it was normal for men to abuse their families and for kids to go to school with black eyes and bruises. To me, it was business as usual. The lessons I learned came through triumph and disaster while I adapted my behavior to treat those two imposters just the same. Most of my troubles were self-inflicted and, as I mentioned before, were the result of poor examples I had growing up as a biracial kid with a Southside Chicago attitude. For example, when I was 13 years old, I helped steal a kid's bike with no concept of the consequences. I was shocked when I was caught and arrested a few days later, because the kid whose bike we stole was the son of a Chicago Police Department officer. Lucky me, right? But that experience made me realize I did not want to be a loser and keep breaking my mom's heart. My solution was simple. I got a job selling the Chicago Tribune City Edition newspaper on Saturdays and Sundays at sporting events. Even as a young kid, me, Angie, and Tommy would walk a few blocks through the OK supermarket and help older folks carry their groceries to their cars or homes. Then use some of the money we earned to buy my mom her favorite strawberry.